Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to just read a few verses here, found towards the end of chapter 4. We'll pick up there in verse number 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, as we read that verse, our minds must quickly go to context. What is the context? The context is, number one, Paul is writing from where? Say it louder. Prison. He's writing from jail. He's writing from prison. He's imprisoned because of his faith in the gospel in Jesus Christ and his determination to spread it, to make it known to the world. And so he's writing this church that he loves dearly, that he planted, that God led him to plant. And he's writing them to encourage them in their faith. And not only in their faith, but he's encouraging them because of their investment. And that investment has specifically been in the work of the gospel through the Apostle Paul. So he is writing to thank them for investing in his life so that he could preach the gospel to many. And he did, indeed. And I just, with Missions Conference coming up here in just a few days that we're going to be praying about together tonight, church, we can never overemphasize the importance of investing in missions. It must be at the forefront of our hearts and minds. It must be something that we pray about continuously. It must be something that we ask God to increase our faith that we might be able to do more. You see, this portion of Scripture, we'll understand here what he's talking about when he says there in verse 15, he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when is this? What does that phrase mean, the beginning of the gospel? Well, we got to keep reading to understand that statement. He says the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. When was that? That's when Paul got the Macedonia call in his second missionary journey. He had already been on one. This was missions trip number two. And he was there. You remember he was trying to go to Bithynia, trying to go to Asia. Remember that in Acts chapter 16? He was just wanting to go here. But God wouldn't let him. And so what God did is gave him a Macedonia call, and through that trip, he would come around. And if you look at on your a lot of times your map in the back of your Bible will show you the journeys of Paul. If you noticed his second missionary journey, Philippi was the halfway point. It was that halfway point where he was going around, where the Holy Spirit was leading him. And that is significant because the churches that Paul is going to reach after Philippi is exactly who he's referring to here. Notice with me, hold your place there in Philippians chapter number 4 and go over to Acts chapter 17. I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to take away from, you know, the things we'll be looking at here in the weeks to come, now or years to come, when we get to Acts chapter number 17, and appreciate it. And so what we see here is exactly the context that Paul is referring to about, remember that phrase, the beginning of the gospel. He goes on to say, when I departed from Macedonia, listen to what he says here. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that here's the gospel. I love it. Paul's always preaching the gospel. That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And look at verse 4 and 5. And some of them believed, thank God. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So there was a lot of women who were in a powerful position there who got saved. But then verse 5 says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and it assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. This is the context of what Paul is talking about to the church of Philippi. He says, during my time, because he came through Philippi first, and then the next two cities would be the city of Thessalonica, and that's where he met trouble. He first saw God move in a mighty way. Church, can we please be reminded that when you are living for Jesus, we're going to get trouble. We're going to get opposition. It's coming. And we need to not be surprised by it. We need to be ready for it. Don the armor, not get discouraged, but to know living for Jesus, there's a cost. It's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. And God's grace is sufficient, but one of the things that helps us through hard times in our Christianity is other believers that care. Amen? And that's what happened here. There was a church in Philippi that cared about Paul. In fact, it gives me chills thinking about it. The very fact is, what's so special about it, at this time, they were the only ones. Paul said it, didn't he? You only have communicated with me. And my desire is, as a local church, is to be a church that always strives to communicate our love and support for people who've received the call of God to take their families across the globe and even in our own country to plant churches that the gospel may go forth. That's a worthy cause. That's a worthy ministry. And I'm praying the Lord to light a fire in our hearts to give us a more of a compassion for it, more of a passion for it. And I believe that's what he recognized this dear church here. He said, church, you have communicated with me concerning, get this, giving and receiving. No church had communicated like the church of Philippi concerning giving and receiving. Now, I don't have time to dive into this, but this is a very interesting word study. If you study that phrase there, giving and receiving, what did he mean by that? This is what he meant by it. He meant that, church, you gave and you received. You gave of your finances, you gave sacrificially, but you received a spiritual blessing from God. And you know how we know that's true? Because we just read about it in Acts chapter 17. People were saved. Paul went to the synagogues and preached the gospel. Boy, there were ladies in authority. They got born again, and they started giving their money towards, I'm sure, the cause of Christ, and started giving their lives to Christ. And there were others that were fiery mad because of these people getting saved. But I want to tell you, I can't help but think tonight of these missionaries that we support currently. I think about the Masters. I think about where they're at in North Africa. I think about Connie Anderson serving over there and sacrificing her life for the orphanage there and those young Haitian kids that the rest of the world could care less about. I think of her. I think of Brother Barry and his laboring in the Amazon there in Brazil. I think of the Garrisons in Colombia, the Jerkbergs in Madagascar. I think of the Needhams there in Cameroon. I think of all of these ones we could go through and list, that they're reaching people that I'll never reach, that we will never reach. But God has called them. And if there's not but one church that cares about them, I pray that it'll be Crooked Creek Baptist Church that will communicate our love to them. The Herbsters and the Yules and the Northcutts, I pray that we will communicate our love for them by supporting them. And look what verse 16 says. For even in Thessalonica, when Paul was going through all that trouble, when he was being persecuted for his faith, what does it say there? You sent once and again unto my necessity. Well, Paul has some needs there. And these missionaries that we are supporting, church, they are depending on us. I don't say that to manipulate. I say that because it's biblical. It's a biblical pattern that God has set forth that I'm going to call forth people and they are going to partner together and be dependent upon each other. We're dependent on them to go and be our voice, to be an extension of our ministry from little old South Jackson, Georgia, Jackson County, to be a voice. And then they are depending on us to be an assistance, to be a support, to be an arm, an extension of helping them get to where God is calling. I tell you, church, I believe the Lord is going to increase our faith this coming week. I believe He's going to help us. And notice with me what verse number 17 says. Paul makes it clear that he's not making a big deal about the gift. He's thankful. But look what he says here. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Remember that giving and receiving? That receiving is talking about that account. That account, that spiritual, eternal account that we'll lay up in heaven is what we're receiving by our giving. You know that old quartet, Brother Mike? Y'all going to have to get one together. You and Mark and fellas, lay up your treasures in heaven. Y'all might even get me on that one, all right? Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. We'll have people leaving the church. Amen. But let's don't do that. But you know, that's what it is. We're laying up treasures in heaven by giving to these missionaries and they're going. We're giving financially and hopefully sacrificially and hopefully by faith that we're receiving too in that spiritual eternal account that God's just pouring into. Isn't that a blessing? That makes me want to shout. I'm thankful that God has set up something so perfect and so beautiful that He allows us little old nobodies here in Jackson County to play a part and people across the globe coming to know Jesus. That boggles me. And I'm thankful though. So my question tonight is that, and again, I'm going to speak humanly here. Humanly speaking, wonder if Thessalonica would have ever been planted. If the church of Thessalonica wouldn't have been planted, there would have never been an epistle to the Thessalonians. And then you'll notice on that same second missionary journey, you know some other churches he hit from when he continued? Church of Ephesus. If he wouldn't have planted the church in the church of Ephesus, I wonder if there had been the book of Ephesians. You know what else church he got to after Ephesus on the second missionary journey? Got to the church of Corinth. He planted the church in Corinth. I wonder if we'd have 1st and 2nd Corinthians if we wouldn't have planted that church. And I believe at that midpoint there was a church that showed some compassion and showed some care when nobody else cared. Paul said, you and you only have communicated with me in the gospel work. And what a testimony, church, that I pray that God would help us to have. Amen. And I trust that He will, if we'll open our hearts to Him and let Him work in this upcoming missions conference as these dear families come before us and just share their hearts, the calling of God, as Brother Todd Bell gets up and preaches his heart out to us. I hope we'll come hungry, ready for God to change us and help us. And I appreciate that Paul didn't make a big deal about the gift. The gift is important, but if we think that Paul is making a big deal about the gift, we've lost the context, because remember what Paul just spent about 5 or 6 verses talking about before this? He said, I have learned, and whatever state I am, therewith be content. I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to be full. And basically what Paul was saying, I want you to know the main thing is that you folks are investing in eternity by the gift you're giving me. God is using your gift as a tool to accomplish something way more important than money. God uses money, but the most important thing, lives are being changed by the gospel. May the Lord help us in being faithful to the Great Commission through our giving so that missionaries may go. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth that we see in the Scriptures. That Paul explained to us and Paul gave to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church like the church of Philippi. That we would have a passion for giving of our finances and being willing to pray as they did as well for their dear missionary, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, as they had a desire to see you glorified and your name known, thank you for what you did. And so now, Lord, we pray for the upcoming missions conference and now our prayer time together. We commit all these things to you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.